Right, we'd like to welcome you this morning. Welcome to church in Toronto. If this is your first time, we give you a special welcome. If you come many times, we still welcome you. You're all welcome. My name is Nigel. We've been doing this series. Let me just say before I begin, I appreciate the music, the worship team. One of the items in the mission of this church, let me just read it to you. Part of the mission of this church is about encounter. Our aim is that people, that's you, that people, you and me, would encounter God. What are we doing here? We want people, you and I, we want to encounter, interact with God through the preaching of God's word and through worship in praise, prayer, song, and song whenever we come together. That's great. What do we want to do? Encounter God through preaching of God's word, worship in praise, prayer, and song whenever we come together. That includes here, and that includes during the week. We have opportunities for you to come together. If you got that little brochure, it has times, places, phone numbers. There's group meetings in homes, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, different locations. We encourage you to join in. That's another place you can encounter God. Okay, and I like to emphasize the worship team, they didn't just come up this morning and decide what to do. They were before the Lord, they prepared, they practiced. This is part of their ministry, and behind what you see is a lot of effort, prayer, consideration. How can they, as a team, help you and I touch the Lord through song, through prayers, and attune our hearts to God, which I think this morning, praise the Lord, we did it, right? We encounter God. So we end on a note, I've decided to follow Jesus. That's a great note to finish, right? Is what? For you and I to say, declare, sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I want Jesus in my life, and I want to follow him throughout my life. However many years God gives you and I, we should have that aspiration, that determination. I want to follow Jesus, right? Do you have it? You want to follow Jesus? Do you want to follow him? Me too. Okay, that's why we're here. Right? If you're not, if you still sat on the sidelines, you're not thinking about Jesus, we want to welcome you this morning. Come and join us. We're following Jesus. Get off the bench. Get on the path. Take the first step. We're going to follow Jesus. All right. Is that good? Good. All right. Okay. We're going through the minor prophets. That is the part, the most unread part of the Bible. The part you read least. Well, we've been in it because we believe all God's word is profitable. We want to give you the whole counsel of God. Genesis to Revelation. It's all God's word, all profitable for you and I. So we've been in it for a number of weeks. We'll be in it some more time. And we're up to the part about Haggai. Okay, so second message on Haggai. Are we good? Yeah, okay, and we have a title. Where's our title for this particular message? We're in Haggai chapter 2. Okay, what's our title? Not frustrated by the past or the future. Don't be frustrated by the past. Don't be frustrated by the future, but be faithful in the present. We got the past, present, future. All of us, God is very fair. Isn't God wonderful? You've got a past, me too. You've got a present, me too. Present time. And we've got a future. Praise the Lord, right? God's given us today. All right. Don't be frustrated by the past. Don't be frustrated by the future. We got today. We got today. Let's be faithful today, right? Okay, we'll get to that. The introduction, let me go this way. Here's a verse from the New Testament, refers back to the Old. Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 11 is that, what some people call the hall of faith. You know, by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed to go out to his country. By faith, Sarah conceived. By faith, different people did different things. That's chapter 11, takes you through very quickly Old Testament highlights. Now, next chapter says, continues that. Therefore, based on all that, those people, they lived their life by faith, right? Before God, encountering God. Okay, so therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's all those folks, Noah, Abram, etc. Okay, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also run. Let us also run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Okay, that image should, you know, conjure up in your mind. It's the thought of a kind of relay race. Have you ever been in a relay? Relay race, you know, it's not an individual. Yeah, you run, but it's the whole result is not dependent on you alone. You are part of this team. There's some people before you, or they ran before you, and they got a, you know, there's a baton. I want to pass the baton to you. You know, the Christian life is like, you know, it's a relay. Some people began and they ran their leg, they ran their lap. Okay, that was number one. They finished their part and they handed off, right? And the good handoff is you receive, you know, you receive from the guy ahead of you, and then it comes to you and you got to run. You run. You're part of the race, and you then, okay, you've handed off to the next person. So, and they run, right? However many legs, right? You know, it's so in that race, typically, you're not the beginning. Somebody's the beginning, right? They ran before you, and this baton on your team got passed to you. Okay, now it's your time. My time, okay, then we run and we pass it on to those following. Amen? Right? That's the image. Okay, so the writer of Hebrews is saying, all these folks, our race, this race of faith began way back. You know, Abraham, 2000 B.C., that makes it 4,000 years ago, right? Ago, okay? You know, he was part of that race. Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, etc., etc. Okay, then the Apostle Paul, Peter, etc., etc. And it finally came to us in the 21st century. We're part of this race. Okay, then the point is what? You know, you inherit whatever. If they did well, you know, your team's ahead. If they didn't do so well, maybe your team's not ahead. But anyway, you got to pick it up where it is and you got to do your thing, right? It's come to you. Amen? And, you know, so, and you might not have the final lap. You know, everybody wants to be the final. They want to break the tape. Oh, you get all the glory. That's what people like. But probably you're not the final. And in this Christian race, you know, it's been going for a while. And finally, we're all of us here, okay, today is our day. Now is our time. The baton has been passed to us. And we don't know that maybe this is the final lap. Maybe not. Okay, we got to pass it on. All right. But okay, but the point is, you know, there's a time it comes to you. There's a time it comes to you, and time it comes to me. Okay, you know, and you know, I know in the athletics, maybe get to choose who wants to be first, leg, second. Okay, in the actual race of the Christian faith, our faith, you didn't get to choose. Which of you chose when you were born? Did he get a vote on that? You know, I was born 1949. Sorry, that makes me old. Nigel, you're born in the 40s. That makes it sound even worse. It was the end of the 40s. 1949. I didn't get to choose. Right? I was born. In fact, you know, me and my brother born the same day. I didn't even get to choose. He was first, I was second. That's the way it went. You know, I tell him he's Esau, I'm Jacob. No. Oops. Anyway, you know, what's the point? The point is, you know, we didn't get to choose when you're born, which century, which year, which decade, right? But you're living your life and most of us have begun an encounter with God. That means, you know, when you receive Jesus Christ, the faith came to you. You received the baton from somebody, from some people. You received it. Okay, now this is our part of the Christian race. This is our stage. This is our leg, right? We're here. Welcome to Toronto, 2015, right? Look, you know, that you are not, you know, this is not Toronto. That is Toronto. Can we go back? You know, some of you remember, you know, most of us don't. Look, hey, that was what Toronto looked like. People thought, whoa, isn't that fantastic? We had the CN Tower. Look, there's hardly anything down there. There's no Sky Rogers Center. There's no ACC. There's hardly any condos. There's a few bank buildings, right? That was probably the end of the 70s. 1970s. That is Ontario Place, down the bottom. Okay? Most of us in this room probably were not there. I wasn't there. I came to Toronto in 86. Okay? We're here. Let's go forward. Whoa! Isn't that better? Sure looks better. This is Toronto now. Now. Right? We're not back there. You know, that was pre-internet, pre-smartphone, pre-all that stuff. iPad, iPod, all that stuff. Right? That was back then. No, we're here. We're here now. Toronto, 2015. Okay, this is our time. This is our place. God has something for us to do today here in Toronto. That's our point, you know. Okay, now, back it up. I like to go to Haggai. What's the parallel? The people in Haggai at that time, back 500 BC, they didn't get to choose either. They didn't get to choose what century. They didn't get to choose what was going on around them. They're in that, okay? They got to be faithful to do what God wants them to do at that time, in that place. Right? We too. So what was that? Okay, let's back up to Haggai. Amen? All right. This is the parallel. There then. They're in their stage of the race. Their situation. We're in ours. They got to do what they got to do. We got to do what we got to do. That's the parallel. And we can learn. All right. What's the situation? Here. Chapter 2 of Haggai. Very tail end of 1. Second year of Darius, the king, Persian king, were in the Persian Empire, 7th month, 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua the high priest, the two leaders, and to all the remnant of the people, all God's people, and say, here's a question from God, who is left among you who saw this house, that's the temple, in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Look at this. Think about that. This one's... Okay. Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel. Be strong, O Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, work. Be strong, work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains with you. Fear not. Okay, they had their situation. God is addressing them in their situation. What is that? It's not the best. Their situation was not the best. Okay, go back 50, 60, 70 years. They had a temple, Jerusalem, everything. Because of their lack of lack of obedience to God, encounter with God, the Babylonians came, defeated them, destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and took the people away to Babylon. Babylon is right across from Baghdad. It's in Iraq, right? They were taken over there, and they were there for an extended period of time. So the city is ruined, the temple's destroyed, the walls are broken down, right? And they're exiled into captivity for a significant amount of time. Then, after a period of time, God called them back. 537 BC, some return. Think about it. They return to destruction. They return to ruin. They return to the ruins of the former city. And they got to begin again. And God asked them to rebuild that temple. Okay, now, think about it. That's the comparison. You know, if it was up to them, you say, when would you like to, why would you like to be born? When would you like to participate in this thing, this project? Probably the answer is no, not now. This is not a good time. I want to, take me back to David. King David, that's a good time. King Solomon, that's a glorious time. David conquered, subdued the enemies surrounding, gave peace, led the people. Solomon built the temple. The surrounding nations, sent tribute to Jerusalem. They're on the top, not on the bottom. They're prevailing. They have a wonderful, marvelous temple. They have God's presence. They have worship. They're God's people. They're right with God. That's the high point. If you ask them, these people, when do you want to be in this story? Answer, David. Answer, Solomon. Well, you don't get to choose. So all that happened downhill. Now we're extended period later, 500 years later almost. It's not a high point, it's a low point. It's not a prevailing situation, it's a poor situation. It's not wonderful kingdom, it's inferior situation. Okay, then because of that and that past, there's a tendency for them to compare. And that's our point here. Okay, God addressed this problem. What's the problem? Comparison. Right? That's what we highlighted. God asks, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? You're looking at this second temple, but some of you remember the first temple. The first temple was bigger, better, brighter, more magnificent, has right God's visible presence in that temple. That's much better. You look at this, it's smaller. It's inferior, and you're disappointed. You don't like it. You despise it, right? That's what God is addressing. It comes from comparison, right? Between the former house, latter house. But brothers and sisters, God asked them to build, right? And sometimes we're discouraged by comparison. Right? Think about it. The older you live, the more past you have. Then the more you can compare. Right? How about your Christian life? How about my Christian life? How about your church life? My church life? Sometimes we compare. Think about the past. Some people in this room have had marvelous, excellent, transcendent experiences of God in this room. I'm sure of it. Some people in this room, you look in your past, you've had marvelous, transcendent, ecstatic experiences of God. Overwhelming, memorable. Haven't you? That's why you remember them. You think, what is the high, what is the most memorable thing that happened in your Christian life? You might say, 70 whatever, 70, 80s, 90s. I said this week in one home group, 1972, I went to a Christian conference in Los Angeles, convention center, second floor. There were thousands of believers. We're on the second floor. There's whole believers excited about Jesus, and we're jumping. Amen. We're jumping for Jesus. Right? Maybe Dell was there. My wife told me she was there. I said, I didn't see you. We hadn't met. You know, we were excited, ecstatic, and we were jumping. We're jumping that much. The floor began to shake. Think about it. It was a big convention center. The floor began to shake. The security people ran up and said, no, stop, stop. Why? They're afraid the whole structure is going to come down. Woo! That would be memorable. See? Was that wonderful? It was. Was that memorable? It was. Okay, what's the problem? The problem is if you use that experience to compare with now, if you use that event to measure today, you say, oh, that was marvelous, that was wonderful. I want that now. I want the same feeling. I want the same ecstasy. I want the same transcend whatever. That's the problem. And the question is, does God have to work in that way? Is God obligated to be experienced by you in that way? Or let me ask you, can God work in a different way? Can he? Will you let him? Will you and I let him work in a different way? It's not that ecstatic, you know, but it's real. It's real. Yes, that was real. Yes, that was glorious, marvelous, whatever. So's this. Don't despise this based on that. God can work in that way. He can work in this way. Let's, you know, and the point is, can we be faithful and cooperate with God the way he is working today? In your life, my life. Same with the church. Same with the church. You can say individually. Think about it. Sometimes in the church, things are prevailing, exciting. You know, God is moving in profound ways, even in a kind of outward way. Yes, he is. Yes, he does. The same God can work in quiet ways, just as real, right? Let's not use that to measure this. Let's not use that to depreciate this. What is the point? The point is not how God worked then. The point is, if you and I to ask, how is God working today? Can we find out how God's working? And can we cooperate with him today? Amen? Right? Otherwise, you know, I met Christians who waited for years and years because they want God to work in a certain way and they're frustrated. You know, I went to university in London, England, UK. I met some believers there, the good believers. They were from Wales. That's a small area, you know, off England. In Wales, 1904, there was a Welsh revival among the Welsh people that was prevailing. It lasted about 9 months, 18 months. It was prevailing. You know, hundreds of thousands of people got saved in Wales. Evan Roberts was used by God in a mighty way. That became famous in Wales. What's the problem? The people I met in 1970, in the late 60s, they're still praying, expecting, hoping. We want another revival. Lord, revive Wales. We want a revival like that revival. Repeat that again. Do that again. Did it happen? No. But you're still waiting, expecting, hoping, you're measuring. God does not have to. Let's let God do it his way, right? Let's be content with how God wants to work today, right? If it's in big ways, amen. Small ways, amen. Outward ways, amen. More inward ways, still, amen. All right. All right, let's do that. Okay, Don't be frustrated. Let's be content with how. Okay, I want to. Okay, that's the past. Don't be frustrated by your past, others' past, how God moved in the past. Don't use that as a measure, as an expectation, as a require. Don't, let's not put requirements on God. Let God be God. Find out how he's working today. Number two, don't be frustrated by the future. Okay, we got more verses here. I think we can find them. Amen. Okay, there's a promise. God gave a promise about the future. This is right here in Haggai. He talked about the past. In the present, he says what? Work, be strong. Now he talks about the future. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while, I will shake, this is God, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, so that the treasures of all the nations will come in, means come into Jerusalem, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver's mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. That was a prophecy. That's a promise. You got to build this house because God's going to do something. That's a promise. I will shake. And it's a package. You know, don't pull out one component. It's a whole package here. Right? There's a promise. I will shake the heavens. Think about it. If you take that literally, I'll shake the heavens. Comets, you know, solar, whatever, cosmic, something. Right, and shake the earth, earthquake, shake the sea, tsunamis, shake the dry land. I will shake all the nations, well, economically, socially, politically, militarily, I'll shake them, and so that the treasures of all the nations, surrounding nations, will come in. The surrounding nations will contribute to Jerusalem, to beautifying, supporting the temple. And God says, and I will fill this house, the temple, with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And 9, the latter glory of this house, this temple, shall be greater than the former. This second temple will have more glory than the first temple, Solomon's. That's the promise. And I'll give peace. That's a promise. Now, if you and I were there at the time, your leaders, Zerubbabel, Joshua, all the people, your expectation and their expectation is probably, we build this temple, we expect to repeat. When the tabernacle was finished, God's glory descended upon it. It filled the tabernacle. The priests couldn't do their job because they were overwhelmed by God's presence. The temple, when Solomon dedicated the temple with the sacrifices and prayer, 1 Kings 8, the glory of God came visibly, physically, descended upon the temple and filled it. So almost the same description. The priests couldn't do their job because God's presence was overwhelming. Physical, visible glory. God says the glory of this house will be greater. If you and I were there, you'd expect, okay, we finish this house, same thing. Same thing. There should be repetition of before. The question is, did it happen? If you can find a verse that says it happened, email me. If you can find a chapter that says it happened, send me an email. Because there's no record of such an event. Did they finish the house? Yes, they did. They finished, and that's the same temple was there when enlarged, beautified, when Jesus was on earth. It lasted 600 years. But that prophecy was not fulfilled in that way. Now, that may surprise you, but that's a fact. I want to give you a quote from a New Testament scholar about this. This is N.T. Wright. He is New Testament professor at St. Andrews University in Scotland. N.T. Wright. He said this, and he's been into this, examined this. He knows the Hebrew, the Greek. He's read the Jewish writings about this. And you got the history of Josephus. Based on all that, he says this. Let me read it to you. The return from exile, when it came about under Cyrus and his successors, including what we're reading, that return from exile was not accompanied by any manifestations such as those in Exodus, tabernacle. Not, you know, there were not the same kind of manifestations as Exodus 40, tabernacle is filled. 1 Kings 8, the temple is filled. Even Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw God's glory. At no point is the house, temple, again, filled with the cloud that veils his glory. You don't read that. At no point is the rebuilt temple universally hailed as the true restored shrine, temple, spoken of in Ezekiel. No new festival was invented to mark the start of a great new era. It did not happen in that way. You have an unfulfilled prophecy. It was not fulfilled in that way. Then and in a sense, people were disappointed. But eventually it is fulfilled, will be fulfilled in the future. You know, this is the nature of prophecy. Yes, you go back to that prophecy, it says, in a little while. In a little while. What does that mean to you and me? A little while? Days, weeks, months? In a little while. Well, this is God's little while, not yours. The end of Revelation, Jesus says, I am coming soon. End of Revelation, almost the last sentence. Jesus says, I am coming soon. How soon? How soon? If you ask John at that time, I am coming soon. John, how soon? How soon? He might say months, maybe days, weeks, year, months, a few years. You say, John, decades? No, no, no. Centuries? No. 2,000 years, John? No. He would say, no, you're crazy. But we're here. God soon and your soon are not the same. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Is he coming? Yes. But his soon and your soon are not the same. You know, it's like husband and wife. You know, you go into one place. Honey, we got to leave. I'll be ready soon. You go out to the car, start the car. Honey. How long? Soon. That's why, have you noticed? Sorry, this is a side. The elders in this church, ask how many. How many husband and wife drive two cars? Am I right, Steve? You drive two cars? Yes. Bob, you and your wife drive two cars, yeah. You know why? They drive two cars because his soon and her soon are not the same. You say, dear, we got to go soon. Yes, I'll be ready soon. Her soon and his soon are different. You say, Nigel, what about you? Yeah, we drove two cars also. Okay, God soon and your soon, human soon are not the same. Okay, same in prophecy. Okay, it was not fulfilled in that way. It will be fulfilled. Okay, the point is what? Don't be discouraged because it's not fulfilled when you expect it. God is not subject to your schedule. His time and your time measures are different. We're good. Be good with that. Let's be content with, okay, the point is what? We're here. Don't be frustrated by the past. Don't be frustrated by the future. Things should have happened, have not happened. Okay, that's up to God. Let's take the baton today. Amen? What God is calling us, be faithful today. Be faithful today. What God has committed to you today, build a house for them. Build a house. God is going to use it. How? In his way, at his time, he's going to use it. So do it. God wants it built, build it. What happens next? Up to God. Okay, today the same. We're here. We've got to find out, what does God want us to do today? Be faithful. Amen? Take the baton, which God has handed to you. Say, Lord, you know, let's follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. That means what? I take the baton. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow him now. We're here in Toronto. Individually, let's follow Jesus in 2015. Okay? This week, let's follow Jesus individually, collectively, as this church. Let's follow Jesus. Let's be faithful to him.